Okay, now we're recording. Okay, so we just did number 19 from section 7.5. Next up, what else should we try? What's interesting? It's already, you already got trig functions. A trig substitution is when you turn something into a trig integral. Is that the integral?
Yes.
Okay.
If you could just bring this over here.
Well, this looks like... So this looks like something where we need trig identity to help us out. Section 7.2 has a whole bunch of stuff about trigonometric integration, some special tricks you can use there. It looks ugly because of the... here I've got sine plus secant in the denominator, so that's kind of hard to break up. So, I noticed there's a 2x there, so what do I know about double angle formulas? Let's see, I know this one. And I know this one. And I also know that secant is the reciprocal of cosine. Okay. So, an idea has formed in my head. My idea is that maybe if I multiply top and bottom by cosine, and hence cancel out that secant, maybe this will get a little nicer. Okay. In fact, in my mind, I see it that the answer is actually going to be a logarithm in the end. Just seeing sine plus secant, I have no idea what to do with that, but if I multiply top and bottom by cosine, I won't change the fraction. Then it'll make things less daunting. Because, if we multiply the bottom by cosine, we'll get cosine x sine of x, right? Which is like sine of 2x, except for that factor 2. And then on the top, we'll have a cosine of 2x, which up to a constant factor will be the derivative of the sine of 2x. So I think I can get myself into a du over u situation. So multiply the top by cosine. Okay. Multiply the bottom by cosine. Of course, you have to be careful to distribute here. You have addition down there. Okay. So I haven't changed the integrand. Now, the secant will cancel the cosine, the reciprocals. And here, I distribute the cosine. When it gets multiplied by the secant, that'll just become a 1. And here I'll have cosine x times sine of x. Now this is good news, because this is using a double angle formula, 1/2 sine of 2x. Let me just go ahead and I'm going to get rid of that fraction and go from there. I'm going to multiply the top and bottom by 2, just like I multiplied the top and bottom by cosine earlier. There's addition down stutters in the denominator, so I have to distribute the 2. Okay. This is looking good. See, I really think now it's going to be an du over u situation, right? I'm going to have u be the sine of 2x plus 2. That's going to be my denominator right there. And then the derivative will be cosine of 2x times the derivative of 2x, right, by the chain rule, plus 0. 2 is a constant. It's just 2. It's perfect. That's exactly what I have in the numerator. Okay. Multiply both sides by dx. Generally speaking, the higher numbered ones are trickier than the lower numbered ones. So you expect number exercise to be especially tricky. So I had to, in order to solve it quickly, I had to have a lot of trig knowledge at my fingertips. Because, I mean, how do you expect to understand a function like this if you don't understand the trig function, right? The cosine 2x was my big hint that I really need to think about double angle formulas, right? I need to think about cosine 2x, and I also need to think about derivatives and antiderivatives of cosine 2x. So I need to actually think about sine of 2x. These examples, 80 and 19, you have to use some algebraic trick, some pre-calculus trick, some identity to manipulate the integrand into something where you can just make a u substitution. But if I tried to make a u substitution right at the beginning, you know, I wouldn't have had any good idea about what to try. I could have tried a lot of things before I got the right one. So I don't go and make a new substitution right away unless I have a promising candidate. I may try to manipulate things until I can see, okay, that looks like it could work.
Why 1/2 sine of 2x when you were solving the integral in that cosine x and x plus 1?
It's because of this double angle formula right here.
Oh, okay.
I saw cosine of 2x, and that made me think double angle formulas. I didn't actually use this one.
Uh-huh.
But since we're talking about antiderivatives, I thought, hey, I may as well start thinking about functions I can get from cosine using derivatives or antiderivatives. And so I thought, hey, why not consider sine as well? Because the derivative of cosine is negative sine, antiderivative of cosine is sine. So it occurred to me that I might as well think about both double angle formulas. This one I didn't actually use, but this double angle formula I used right there.
Why is it that the cosine double angle exponentiates it and squares it, and then the sine one just doesn't do that?
Why? Well, I mean, there's I mean,
I thought they were very similar in the sense that they were going to be the same degree.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, ultimately, a full answer to why is going to boil down to a proof of the double angle formula.
Right.
But I mean, there's...
Is there another way to write those?
Well, there's a general rule, okay? Right? And these are special cases of the addition formulas. These can be proved using geometry. If you like complex numbers, you can define cosine and sine in terms of complex exponentials and prove these from using the more basic fact that for any two complex numbers, you have this, and you break it up into real and imaginary parts. You can even prove it using the power series for sine and cosine.
I find it weird that, the half angle formulas and the power reducing formulas, they're very similar. Except, and the only difference is like a minus and the difference in the minus sign in between. This one has the squared and the whole thing.
Well, it sort of makes sense to me because I know another algebraic identity. So I know that if you take a squared minus b squared and square it, and then to that you add the square of 2ab, the result is the square of a squared plus b squared. So to me, this seems like that kind of decomposition, a squared minus b squared and 2ab, seems natural to me because of the way it adds up. It's like if you square these and add them, you should get 1, because cosine squared plus sine squared is 1. There are several different ways to explain it. Yeah. Complex exponentials, power series. You can do straight up geometric proofs of these. So I guess I would say look it up.
Yeah.
You can find some nice diagrams that explain, why the angle addition formulas are true. If you take linear algebra, there's another way to think about it in terms of matrix multiplication. There's probably other ways I don't remember, or I have never been taught. Okay, but any other integrals we should try?
Can you try another or something like that, where you have some sort of addition? Uncommon. And how we have sine plus secant x?
Here. Why don't you take a look? Maybe we'll see one. There's always a risk that if I make up one up myself, it might be one where there isn't an answer. Right? There might not be a formula for it. If I just throw together a formula at random, there probably won't be.
How do you do the ones that have sine of h, cosine of h?
Hypotenuse. Oh. Well, you either you know the derivatives and antiderivatives of those things. Well, sine h has derivative cos h, and cos h has derivative sine h.
So it's the same thing?
Well, there's no minus sign like there is with the trig functions.
Okay.
So the trig functions, they go, you know, it goes cosine, negative cosine, sine, cosine, a cycle of length 4. With the hyperbolic sine and cosine, it's a cycle of length 2. Sine h, cosine h, sine h, cosine h. But you can go back to their definitions, right? Even, you know, if you see a bunch of cosine h, sine h stuff, you could just, you know, replace it with the underlying definition.
So how would you do number 53? It says x squared, or it's an integral of x squared, sine h, mx dx.
Okay. Integral of x squared?
X squared, sine h, mx.
Like that?
There's no parentheses.
There's no parentheses over.
I'm going to assume that.
Yes.
Like this.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Well, usually when I see some transcendental function multiplied by just a power of x, to me that screams integration by parts. Okay.
Yeah, it's x squared.
Okay, so if I can differentiate the x squared a couple of times, it'll be a constant. The cost is I'll have to anti-differentiate this guy. Now, as I said, the derivatives go in that cycle of length 2. So the antiderivatives will just go, it'll go up to cosine h and then back to sine h. Except for that little m factor in there. I have to use the chain rule or u substitution every time. I would just do a u substitution at the beginning to get this out of the way. Okay. So. Actually, I'm going to do integration by parts, which is... Either people usually use UDV or FDV. Anyways, well, whatever. I'm going to call it W. Anyway. So I'm just going to deal with the constant factor right at the beginning. Okay, so DX will be DW over M. And then the X squared... Let's see. Well, x will be w over m. So x squared will be w squared over m squared. Okay? So all together, I think I'm going to get a 1 over m cubed outside the integral. I'm going to give myself some room here. Okay, so what's going to happen now is we're going to be taking derivatives of this, and the trade is we'll have to, like what would happen if we just did integration by parts once, right? If this is the f, and this is the g prime, right, as functions of w. Right, we would get that, right, which is just w squared hyperbolic cosine. So you have to know that it's easy to check that, right, the derivative of this is that, because the constant multiples and then a chain rule brings a minus sign down. Right? So cosine h does have derivative sine h, so
cosine h is an antiderivative of sine h, right? And then here, see, now we get a 2w. Well, there's a silly 1 over m cubed lurking around. Okay. And then the g again, the antiderivative. Right? But you can just repeat, right? You do it again. You might remember that sort of technique I showed you with the alternating signs, and you make a table where one column has more and more derivatives, and the other column has more and more antiderivatives. Anyways, you can integrate this one by parts, right? So let's call the whole thing f of x. There are the m to the negative 3 lurking around. Okay, so we're going to have this thing that's already done. Then we do integration by parts on this one. So it's going to work the same way, right? Except there's a minus sign in front. Right, but 2w times antiderivative, right? You can sine h, right? If you take the derivative of that, you see that a chain rule just bring another factor of negative 1 down, which will flip the sign back to a plus. So the sine h is an antiderivative of cosine h. So this is, the general pattern, right? You have to anti-differentiate something, and then you get a new integral with the other term differentiated. So I anti-differentiate that. Right? That's the new f. That's the new g prime. This is the new f. And now minus minus, so plus. Now the derivative of 2w is just 2. Right. So in this case, because it's a w squared, right, I had to integrate by parts twice. And then finally, again, an antiderivative of sine h is cosine h. So we're finally done here. And you can go back to your x variables. I guess it's a matter of taste whether or not you want the plus c on the inside or outside the m to the minus 3. Either way, it's going to be a constant. So if you see something like x squared times something that's, trig or logarithm or exponential, right? That's some power of x like that. That looks like a good opportunity for integration by parts. Doesn't always work. Sometimes you have to do a substitution first or something. But the idea is you have something that you can differentiate down to a constant, and then something else that's you can take antiderivatives a few times, as many times as you need to differentiate this down to a constant. If you can't take antiderivatives of that thing, like if I didn't know antiderivatives of this, then integration by parts wouldn't help me. Right. Let's see. You were asking about. Okay. The next request is for 82. I guess one remark about the integration by parts here is I could do, and when you have the integration by parts, the if you have to do it repeatedly, sometimes it's faster to make this kind of table. Right? Where one column you're anti-differentiating, the other column you're differentiating. Until you hit zero. So I took derivatives here, I took antiderivatives, right? Then you make these little diagonal lines, plus, minus, plus, with alternating signs, which corresponds to what we have here. Positive 1 times w squared hyperbolic cosine, negative 2w, negative 2w times hyperbolic sine. And then finally, positive, I could go through, right? Positive 2 times the cosine, hyperbolic cosine of w. Okay? The alternating signs happen because you multiply by negative 1 every time you do the integration by parts there. So it fits that pattern. Okay. So number 82 is next.
Does it always follow that pattern? For most detail, I mean, for most integration by parts.
Well, I mean, if you're integrating by parts repeatedly, you get that pattern, okay? I'll show you. Suppose I had, like, x squared. Notice that I had to take the antiderivative of this thing 3 times, okay? Let's suppose I had some other function, I don't know, h, that I could anti-differentiate 3 times. So I'll represent that as, you know, this, right? So you integrate by parts once, right? And then your new thing will be the integral of, I'm going to write it and then erase it. Watch out. Okay, so the new thing would be the integral of, you 2x, right, derivative, f prime and g, right? And then the antiderivative is h double prime x. Right, but then you use integration by parts on this. Okay? What happens when you use integration by parts on this? Well, you see, you have your f and your g prime. You anti-differentiate this. Okay? So I take off a prime. And then subtract what? Well, it's going to be now the derivative of the 2x of 2 inside integral h prime x. And this last one I can do, right? Because if this is an h prime, it has an antiderivative h. Let's see if that. So you see, every time you integrate by parts, you're going to have these nested minuses, and you see the pattern of x squared to 2x to 2, h triple prime to h double prime to h prime to h. And minus 1 times minus 1 here becomes positive. That enforces the alternating sign pattern.
So does that table have like a certain name or technique?
I don't know.
Okay. I read one where there was an instance, and it was dealing with trig, an integral of trig, and there was one part where you had to set it equal to what you have to begin with.
Yeah.
So you can get the rest. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. So sometimes the integration by parts is it's a longer story. So sometimes with the integration by parts, you know, the idea is you eliminate some polynomial, like that x squared eventually goes away. And then it's an integral that you can just do. There's tricky cases where you do the integration by parts, and somehow you kind of go around in a loop.
Yeah.
So you get back your original integral with something added to it, and maybe a constant multiple in front. And then you solve that equation. That's how the secant cubed integral is done.
That tricky looking one. I think that's near the end of the list of problems. I think that demands a very clever use of trig identities, basically. Okay, so I've got a half sine 2x. And so maybe I could use a trig like I did in number 80 somehow.
Is that 4 or is that a symbol?
It's supposed to be a fourth power.
Oh, okay.
That's number 82. Okay, we could square this. Okay, so we've got something kind of figure out what to do with this, though. Okay. This I can sort of work with.
Is that half sine?
Yeah. Okay. So if I bring that 2 from up there back, I have 2 times a half squared, so that works out to 1/2 sine squared of 2x. Now I can use the fact that cosine squared of any angle plus sine squared of the same angle is 1. So I can turn this sine squared into 1 minus a cosine squared of the same angle 2x. And so what does this mean now? Okay, so I'm going to totally rewrite the denominator, right? It's going to be cosine squared 2x plus this 2 cosine squared sine squared term, which I've used a double angle formula and then the Pythagorean identity to totally revise as 1/2 1 minus cosine squared 2x. Okay? So now this is looking good because, look, it's a cosine squared 2x and another cosine squared 2x, and it'll be a constant. Right? Put all this together, right? You'll have a half. Then here we have a whole cosine squared 2x minus a half cosine squared 2x. So you get a half cosine squared 2x plus just a half. So that's a really tricky one because you have to be really well versed in your trig identities to see what's going on. I can clear the 1/2, multiply everything. 2 on the top, 2 on the bottom. And then, looks like I should do a U substitution like I did in number 80. Because then the DU will be negative 2 sine 2x dx. So the numerator would become negative du over 2, I think. Then downstairs I get u squared plus 1. Okay. So I get negative 1/2 arctangent of u. Right? Plus a constant. And so in terms of my original, call this thing g of x here. So the original variable x, in the, so my original coordinate system, I have negative 1 half arctangent of, what was it, cosine of 2x plus. And I think if you're really clever, right, you could, I think, yeah, there's a little bit more. If you wanted, you could simplify this, so to speak. Like, you could actually, because you can use the fact that cosine is 1 over secant, which is 1 over square root of 1 plus tangent, plus or minus, right? And so I, well, it doesn't have quite in there. That's not quite going to do it. I'm wondering if I could somehow partially cancel it out. I'm not sure. Maybe. Anyways, I better just leave it as it is for now. There might, okay. Technically, this is good enough. It's an antiderivative. I'm not sure whether another simplification is possible. I'm starting to doubt it. Next.
Let's do it.
Yeah, if you want to do an integration by parts loop, we can do that tomorrow. Let's see. No homework today.
Okay. Can you put
these? Yeah, and there's some paper clips in there if you need them.
All right. Thank you.
So yeah, turn in your homework before you go.
There, do you refer?